We're going to ask you on this great day to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. John chapter 11. And when you get there, I ask you to look with me at verse 39. So John chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 39. Now read from the King James Version, and it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus says to her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, that thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray today. Father, we give your name all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Because, Father, you are God, and you are worthy of all praise.
Yes, Father.
And, Father, we thank you right now for all that you've done. We thank you, God, for bringing us to this place in the service where your word goes forth. Father, we're praying now for an anointing to be on your word, to destroy every yoke and remove every burden in our lives. Father God, let your word come forth with power and authority. And Father God, give us a heart of understanding that we may take in your word, believe your word, and most of all, God, walk out your word and see the promises of your word come to pass in our lives. Father, we believe that you have great things in store for us today. And so, Father, we ask you to move right now by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring it all to pass. Thank you for it. We bless you for it. We give you honor and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just read John chapter 11, verse 39 through 44. Our title today is The Stone is Taken Away. The Stone is Taken Away. Amen. We were reading in John chapter 11, and obviously from where we started, you can tell, and you're very familiar, many of you are, with John chapter 11, and know that the majority of this chapter deals with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And just by way of quick background, right, Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. And Jesus had a special relationship with them. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And Jesus was beyond the Jordan, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, when Mary and Martha sent unto him a messenger saying that their brother was sick. And when Jesus got the message, we know that he stayed where he was for 2 additional days. And he told his disciples that Lazarus is sleeping. They said, oh, well, that's good then. He's going to get better. If he was sick, then sleep would be good for him. And the Bible says that Jesus spoke about death. And so he plainly said to them, Lazarus is dead. And you know, Jesus said that, you know, it was good that this had was had occurred because they were going to see and they were going to understand and they were going to believe in the glory and the power of God. Jesus said, come on, let's go go see him. And Lazarus lived in Bethany, which was nearby Jerusalem, probably not even a half a mile away. And the disciples really didn't want to go because by this time, the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus because Jesus had the nerve, according to the religious leaders, to heal on the Sabbath day. He had healed the man by the pool of Bethesda and told him to take up his bed and walk. And they said, who told you to be doing that on the Sabbath day? Because to carry your bed meant you were working. And from that point, they wanted to kill Jesus. They were plotting to kill Jesus, but his hour had not yet come. But they wanted to get him. And then when he went to the feast, I think it was the Passover feast in John chapter 7, they also, again, they wanted to get him, but they couldn't lay hands on him. And so now he's beyond the Jordan. His disciples are fine with that. But now Jesus says, come on, let's go see Lazarus in Bethany. Like, why do we want to go there? They want to kill you. Right? They're right in that vicinity. They're right in that area. But Jesus came, and by the time he gets to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And both Mary and Martha, they came to Jesus separately, but they said the same thing. They said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha said it first, Mary said it second. And when Jesus, he had a longer conversation with Martha, he told Martha, he said, your brother shall rise again.
Yes.
And Martha said, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And when she said that, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Right? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he said, do you believe this? So they had this conversation, and then she went back and she told Mary, and Mary comes, and my brother, if you had been here, my brother had not had died. And Mary's crying, and the people who had come with Mary out of her house were crying. And the Bible tells us Jesus started crying. And he was troubled in his spirit because he saw all of this. And he's troubled by the sadness, I believe. But I also believe that he was troubled by the unbelief. Because Jesus, if anything, he's always checking to know, do you believe me? That's what he said to Martha. Believest thou this? Do you believe what I'm saying to you? So he's troubled in his spirit. And so he finally says to them, where have you laid him? Where did you put Lazarus? And they bring him to the cave or the tomb where they had placed Lazarus. And it says in verse 38 that a stone was put in front of the mouth of the tomb. And when Jesus gets there, the first order of business is Jesus giving a command. He said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And if you just visualize this, you can understand that that stone was a great separator. Because on the one side, there were people who were basking in life. And on the other side of the stone, there were people who were dead.
Right?
It was a great separator. On one side was life, on another side was death. On the one side, there were people who were enjoying the life and light and all the good things that are in the earth. And on the other side, there were those who were dead and they laid rotting away in darkness. And Lazarus was no longer in the land of the living. He was on the other side of that great separator, that stone. He was one of the dead. But Jesus came to Bethany specifically for Lazarus. And he came to change his situation around. But the stone had to be taken away first, because that stone is a great separator. You think about the separation. There's a separation, amen. There's a separation between good and evil. How many of you know? There's a separation between people of God and those who don't believe in God. How many of you know? We may all be human beings, but we are not all in God's family, because those who accept Jesus as Savior are the sons and daughters of God. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says that. Don't get mad at the preacher.
Amen.
But there's a great separation, amen. You know, you think about, it's funny, we talk about Lazarus here. Wasn't it the rich man and Lazarus? The parable that Jesus told? And in that parable, Lazarus was all poor and everything else, and, you know, he suffered during his life. But when he died, he went to Abraham's bosom, and when the rich man died, he was being tormented in hell. And he looked up and said, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in some cool water and put it on my tongue. Yeah. I'm being tormented here." And Jesus in the parable said that Abraham told him, no, he can't do that. He can't travel from here to you, and you can't travel from you to him, because the distance and the separation is too great.
Yeah.
There's a separation between those who are living life and those who are dead. And those who have life in Christ, and those who are alive in terms of human beings being alive in the earth, but yet are without the life giver in their life. There's a difference. And Lazarus was in this place where the dead people were. Amen. But Jesus came to change the situation around. But you have to roll away the stone. And when he said that, Martha says to him, "Wait a minute. By this time, he stinks."
Yeah.
Because he's been dead 4 days. It's one of the unfortunate things of life that things that die, they decay, they rot, and they smell. They stink. Right? I don't care what it is. I remember one time, there was something in our pantry. Every time I opened the door, this smell came out. What in the world is that? Mm-hmm. You ever go in your refrigerator sometimes?
Yep.
And sometimes there's something in there that's smelling, and you go, "What is that?" And I'll never forget, that thing in the pantry was a potato. Right? Just a regular potato that was now decaying. And man, it gave off a stench. If you drive along these roads, you might not see the deer or the dead animal, but you sure can smell it. And you know it's been out there for a few days. And so Martha is concerned. She said, "Don't open that tomb. By now, he stinks. He's been in there for 4 days." And it is something about, God speaks in so many ways, but don't you understand that there are many differences between life and death, but one of the differences between life and death is that life gives off a fragrance, and death gives off an odor.
Yes.
Hmm? Life gives off a fragrance, death gives off an odor.
Yes.
That's why when you and I live by the word of God, We have received words of life, right? Jesus said, "The words I speak are spirit and their life." Moses said, "The word is your life." And when you and I live by the word of God, we're living by the words of life, right? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God is life. And so when you and I live by the word of God, we give off a fragrance of life. When we walk in forgiveness and compassion and mercy and grace and patience and joy and peace and all of those things that the word says is how we're supposed to live, when we live a life of obedience, of praise and of worship and of service, our lives, whether you realize it or not, gives off a fragrance. that is pleasing, and people like being around you. But oh, if we don't live by the word of God, right? We're not kind. He tells us to be kind. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, often overlooked. Kindness. We're not kind. We don't forgive. We don't worship. We grumble. We complain. We gossip. We do things that are contrary to the word, which is life. I'm telling you now, our lives give off an odor.
Yep.
And all this time, folk been walking around thinking that people didn't like you. It's not that they don't like you. Some of them love you. They're your relatives. They're your children. They're your parents. They're your spouse. But if you are living contrary to the word of God, your life gets off an odor. And even people who love you might not want to be around you because of the stench that comes from your life. Jeez. And all this time, you thought it was because they didn't like you. It's not that. They just can't stand being around you. What is that? Live by the word of God and you'll give off a fragrance, amen? And people will love being around you because your life just gives off a sweet-smelling fragrance. Amen. The pleasantness. It brightens your countenance. Your eyes have a clarity that people want to look into. You walk differently. There's a difference between death and life. And Martha knew something. Lazarus is dead. And by now, he stinks. But Jesus says to her in verse 40, he said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And Martha's an interesting one because, see, Martha, when she's talking to Jesus, she said, first, if you had been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. Right? And then secondly, when Jesus said, your brother shall rise again, she said, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Martha's interesting because Martha, when it comes to things, when she looks backwards, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. She got faith in that. I know he wouldn't have died, Jesus, if you were here. But see, that's gone now. That already happened. But she still believed in that. And then she also believed that if, you know, in the resurrection, Lazarus is going to rise again. But she had a problem believing today, right? And you think about Martha, and you think about how much you and I may have in common with Martha. How many of us, our faith is stirred by what God did for us before? You remember when God gave you the job. You remember when God opened the door for you to get a house. You remember when God blessed you to be able to have a child. You remember when God allowed you to start your business or to start your ministry or start. You remember the things God done for you in the past. And if someone were to tell you, are you going to heaven in the future, your faith is stirred by that too. You know you're going to see streets of gold. You know God's going to wipe every tear from your eye. You know there's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. You know you're going to see your loved one who died in Christ before you. You got faith in the future. Your faith is stirred by the past. But right now, today, you need $500, or you need healing, or you need deliverance, and you struggle to believe that. That's a problem. It's a problem when Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is.
Wow.
Because if we don't have faith now, then we can't receive from God now. So Martha believed back then, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We believe back then. Oh yeah, God moved for me back then. He opened the door. God's a great God. God can do anything. I remember when he did that. Yeah, but that happened already. Martha believed in the future. I know you're going to raise him in the resurrection at the last day. We believe in the future. I know I'm going to heaven. How many know you're going to heaven? Yeah, we know you're going to heaven. We come to church, we sing about going to heaven. I know I'm coming. I got a home in the sky. I'm gonna tell this world goodbye. Remember that song?
Yep.
You see, we do grab a bell too. I'm gonna fly away. Remember Patty LaBelle used to do that? Do we know? We know we going to heaven. But do you know God gonna pay your rent this month?
Wow.
Do you know God gonna take that sickness out of your body right now? Do you know that he gonna deliver your child off them drugs? Or get your child off them streets?
Wow.
Do you know that now? Do you have faith in that right now? The same way you have faith in the fact that you're going to heaven. And see, Martha had that problem. Past and future, she good. Believing today, not so good. So Jesus had to say to her, didn't I tell you?
Wow.
You worry about him stinking. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And no matter what we do, we can praise, we can worship, we can serve, we can do all these things. But we're going to have to make sure whatever we're doing is in faith. So Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha's concerned about the stinking. Jesus is concerned about her not believing for today that she can see the glory of God. That you can see the glory of God today, he's telling her, if you would believe. So they get to this, to the sepulcher, right? They get to the tomb. And so let's see the scene now. So Jesus already said, now take away the stone. And in verse 41, it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Where the dead was laid. They don't even say Lazarus. Where the dead was laid. They didn't even call him by name. But see, there's a reason for that, I believe. In a lot of these tombs in Bible time, there was more than one person who was buried in a tomb. So I believe then that Lazarus wasn't the only dead person in the tomb. There were other dead people there. And so they said, so the Bible says that they took away the stone where the dead was laid, Lazarus and whoever else and how many other else were in there. But the stone is taken away. Amen. And Jesus, after the stone is taken away, he says something interesting. He says, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. And I know, or I knew, that you always hear me. Jesus expressed confidence that when he prayed, the Father heard him. And the reason why Jesus had that confidence is because Jesus knew something. I pray a certain way. And I pray a certain way. And I pray in the way that leads the Father to hear me. And this is important for us to understand. God doesn't hear every prayer. What I mean by hearing? I don't mean that he, like some certain things, he is just doesn't reach his ears. No, I'm not saying that. He hears them, but he doesn't hear them. You understand what I mean? It's like, you know, it's just like children who, they hear you, but they don't hear you. Go clean up your room. Okay. And then you come back, the room's not cleaned up. I told you to clean up. I heard you. You know, if you heard me. If you heard me, the room would be cleaned up.
Yes.
See, when they say I heard you, they heard you with their ears. But you're not concerned about that. See, this needs to be a hearing that goes deeper than your ears, that leads to conduct, that leads to action.
Right.
And so please understand that, yeah, we can all pray, and God hears all of us, but he doesn't hear all of us. Mm-hmm. In other words, some of the things reaches his ear and stops. Other things go beyond his ear and leads him to action. In other words, he answers those prayers. That's a different kind of hearing. And Jesus is saying, I know you always hear me to the point of action. But I want you to know, not every prayer is like that. Oh, we all doing some praying, but God doesn't hear every prayer. And if you want to hear every prayer, You need to take a look at 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You can look at it, I study it, read it, believe it. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. And it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Mm-hmm. That if we pray, watch this, if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we desire of him.
Yes.
Is that what it says?
What it says.
So know what that says? He didn't hear every prayer. He hears the prayers that are according to his will. That's why he doesn't hear your prayer when you pray that you can get your neighbor's house or his car.
Right.
That's not according to his will. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. I don't say that. It says why? I know, I'm just... It's about coveting people. His house is pool, his dog. God's not going to hear you praying like the sons of thunder. Remember when they said Jesus, they wanted to know if Jesus wanted them to pray down, lightning to strike the people who was opposing them? Wanted to pray down? He said, you don't know. You don't know what manner of spirit you are. But when you pray according to the will of God, God hears you. That's why it's important for us to pray according to the word of God. You can pray the scripture if you want, but you don't have to, but pray according to the scripture. Mm-hmm. Right? Pray the promises of God. Pray according to the character that the scriptures tell you that God reveals and who he is. But you got to pray according to his will. And his will is found in his word. And his word says you're healed, thank God for your healing. If the word says he supplies your need, thank God for the provision. But if you won't be praying to God going, oh no, where my money's going to come from? I'm telling you, God didn't hear that.
Right.
Oh no, how am I going to pay this rent, boy? I need your help. God didn't hear that. This is what he heard. I thank you, Lord, that you supply all my needs according to his riches, to your riches and glory. So I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to pay my rent somehow, some way. So I just lift up my hands right now and I thank you for it. I'm telling you now, God heard that prayer. The other ones, Jesus said, I'm glad you hear me. You always hear me. I want to pray prayers that God always hears, amen? And if that's the case, then I got to pray, you got to pray, we got to pray according to his will. So Jesus says, he gets there, the stone is taken away, and he says, I'm saying this just so we focus on it. I know you always hear me. And then we come to the point why Jesus came. After he said this, he then says with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And that's why he came. That is why he left from where he was beyond the Jordan and came to Bethany so that he can call Lazarus out of that tomb. And you see, Jesus is very specific. He called him by name. Up until now, it was like, oh, where the dead was laid. But Jesus called him by name. And I heard someone saying, I believe this is the truth. Jesus called him by name because if he didn't call him by name, every dead person in that tomb and the tombs around it, they all would have died. But Jesus said, Lazarus come forth, because he was only calling out Lazarus. And Lazarus comes forth. Amen. Jesus was very specific. He brought Lazarus back. But Lazarus still had to move forward, right? He brought Lazarus back, but still, Lazarus had to come forward. Lazarus had to move forward. Lazarus had to come out of that cave. And Lazarus, how many of you know, at this point, is alive. He's alive now. He was dead, and now he's alive. But Lazarus still has a couple problems. Lazarus is still bound, and he's blind. Because the scriptures say he has on grave clothes. And it says he was bound hand and foot, which means he couldn't do much moving. And it says that a napkin was over his face, which means he couldn't see. So Lazarus is alive, but he's bound and he's blind. And Jesus is not satisfied with Lazarus just now being alive again. He wants Lazarus to enjoy life. And he knows that Lazarus cannot enjoy life if he remains bound and blind. So he knew his work wasn't over yet. Just because he commanded Lazarus to come out, and just because Lazarus came out, Jesus knew, there's one more thing I got to do before I get on up out of here. Loose him and let him go. And the people came and they loosed him and they let him go. That's the scene. But now here's the reality of things. Whether you realize it or not, you and I are Lazarus. Right? Right? Lazarus was dead and he was raised back to life. You and I were dead in our sins and we were raised to newness of life when we accepted Christ Jesus. Right? Whether we knew it or not, we were on the wrong side of that great stone separator. Yes. We were on the side of death and despair and darkness and confusion and chaos and anarchy and all of those things before we came to Christ. We were dead in our sins, but now we're born again. You and I are Lazarus. We got now a second chance at life. The reality, that's one reality. The second reality is that Jesus has taken away the stone, right? That great separator. When Jesus offered his life on the cross, he now, glory to God, he now took away the stone, that great separator between life and death, between darkness and light. And here's the thing. The stone is taken away for everybody.
Yes.
But everybody doesn't come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because the only way you do that is you have to accept the work that Jesus did on the cross. But if we've accepted the work that Jesus has done on the cross, then we're Lazarus. We have now been raised to newness of life. That's what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 4. He said that we've been saved and we now can walk in newness of life. But you got to accept Jesus. Jesus, though, has taken away the stone. Because how many of you know, if you're raised back to life, but the stone isn't rolled away, if the stone's not taken away, then that's a cruel trick right there. Because now you've been raised to life, but you still have to dwell in darkness and despair and death and destruction and all those things. So it's important that the stone is rolled away. And now we can walk in newness of life. That's why Paul told the church at Corinth, what? That because we are in Christ, what are we? New creatures. Old things are what?
Passed away.
Behold, all things become new. We have newness of life now. The stone is rolled away. We no longer have to live in that cave. We no longer have to be in darkness and despair. We no longer have to be in chaos and confusion. The stone is rolled away. And Glory to God. But as born-again believers, we have to have that in our heart and in our mind. So the first reality is, you and I are Lazarus. We were dead, but now we've been raised to new life. Second reality is, the stone has been rolled away, and now we have newness of life all out in front of us. But here's the third reality that's really important. Jesus has set you loose. Why is that important? Because there are too many believers who are on that side of the stone, who give their life to Christ, they get raised up, the stone is rolled away, but they still have on their grave clothes, they still abound, and still have a napkin over their eyes. What are you talking about? I'm talking about how many people who are saved but are still bound by fear, still bound by unbelief, still bound by bitterness and hatred, still bound by unforgiveness, still bound by things.
Wow.
You're saved, but you still have the problems. You're bound by these things.
Wow.
You're blinded to the truth. You still got that napkin over your face, and you're blinded by certain truths. But Jesus says, listen, he has set you loose. Because if you're not set loose, then you can't get out of that cave.
Wow.
But Jesus has set us loose, right? Jesus doesn't want us to be alive but in the dark. He doesn't want us to be alive but to be bound. He doesn't want us to be alive but still be blind. He said, no, I'm taking all that stuff off of you. Not only did I raise you up, but I loosed you too. Jesus is big on loosing, right? There's a man in the Bible who couldn't speak. They said his tongue was tied, and they said that Jesus loosed his tongue, and he was able to speak plainly. He loosed his tongue. And we know about the woman, amen, that he said to her, who was bowed over 18 years, he said, what? Woman, thou art loosed.
Yeah.
Jesus wants to loose us from the things that keep us back. Whether it's fear, whether it's low self-esteem, whether it's things that happened in your past, rejections, abuse, you know, just miserable things that happened in your life, people were mean to you, people turned their back on you, failure, right? These things that we walk around and maybe some of us got a smiley face on, but deep down we still are bound by some of these things. But the truth of the matter is, the reality is, you have been set loose. Jesus didn't, if you're saved, Jesus didn't save you and keep you bound. He didn't do that to Lazarus, did he? He didn't raise up Lazarus and leave him that way. He made sure he got loose. I want you to know something. When you got saved, Jesus didn't just raise you up from dead to living. He made sure that you were loosed.
Yes.
From all the things that would try to bind you. He made sure that you were loosed from all the things that would try to blind you to the truth. And you have to get that in your heart and in your spirit. The devil tries to convince too many people of God that you're still bound. Try to convince you that you still are a slave to your old habits or a slave to your old way of thinking, that you're still bound by that, that you're still bound to old relationships and you're just, you really can't move forward. The devil is a liar, amen? You are free. You are loose. And you can come out of that cave and that darkness and that despair and move into the abundant new life you have with Christ.
Amen.
Loose him and let him go. And so we have to realize then, the reality for us is, you and I, Lazarus, we've been raised a new life. The stone's been taken away. We can see the brightness out there. And we're loose. We're free to go out into that newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus and walk around in the freedom and in the power that we have in the Holy Spirit and have abundant life, to have the type of life that Christ went to the cross to give us. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. That's what we have. And so if there's anything that's why, listen, I don't know about you, oh my God, if you want to get on my bad side, try to tell me that I can't do something. Try to tell me that I got limitations and things. The word of God is true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. All the promises of God in Him are what? Yay and amen. But this is where we come back to our friend Mark. Because see, you have accepted Christ. And we're going to talk about those who have it in a minute. But for those who have accepted Christ, you know that you've been born again. Which means you understand that there was a time when you were dead in your sins, right? Because it's the law of sin and death. You were dead in your sins. But when you accepted Christ, you got born again. Right? You were raised to a new life. You know that. You were raised to a new life. But what too many don't know is you don't have your grave clothes on anymore. Amen? And you know, some of us don't get like the stone's been rolled away. There are too many saved folks still living in darkness. Too many saved folks still living in the cave when they should be out among the land of the living. The great separator has been rolled away. You don't belong in there anymore. You don't belong with depression and dejection and all those things. You don't belong in there anymore. You belong where there's newness of life. And you're free to go and to be who God called you to be and created you to be. There are no limits. No limits. Why? Because those things that were keeping you bound and back, those things that were keeping you blind and confused, have been loosed from your life. Now go! Amen? Get out of that cave and go into the newness of life that is yours in Christ. But this is where we have to remember Martha. Because remember, Martha had no problem with being excited about things in the past, had no problem about being excited about things in the future, but she had a problem with it right now. But what did Jesus say to her? Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And he said that to her in a specific point in time where she was worried about Lazarus stinking. He was talking to her on that day. If you believe, you'll see the goodness of God today. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and to me. He's saying unto us, right? It's not enough to be stirred by the things in your past and to be encouraged by your future in heaven and all that. You need to believe today. Amen? You need to believe now because faith is now. And Jesus is saying unto us, if you can believe now, you can see it now. If you can believe now, you can receive it now. The belief is not for the future. It's for today. It's for today. David was a man after God's own heart, right? I believe it's Psalm 27. David says, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I want you to know, David saw the goodness of God while he was alive.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of God while I was alive, I would have given up by now. If I didn't believe to see that God would bless me, that God would show his goodness to me, that God would show his faithfulness to me, that God will show his kindness to me while I'm alive, not some great by and by, while I'm alive, I would have given up. Right? That's why it's so important to believe now. Because otherwise, you'll give up. And I believe maybe that God wants to talk to every one of his children, every one of his sons and his daughters. I believe that he wants to talk to every one of them and perhaps say to them, you shouldn't be giving up. There is hope. Why? Because the stone has been taken away. Your grave clothes have been loosed. But now I came and I brought you back to life, but you now have to move forward. Lazarus, come forth, right? Larry, Linda, whatever your name is, come forth. David said, if I didn't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, if I didn't believe that, I would have given up. I can relate to that right there. If I didn't believe that every day I get to, I'm closer to my promise. If I was believing God for something yesterday and it didn't come, and I just praise God for being wise this way, I believe it's coming today. Call me crazy. Call me stupid if you want. Call me Simple Simon. Call me whatever you want. But I'm telling you right now, amen, I was believing God for it yesterday. Did you get it yesterday? No. But what are you going to do? It's coming today. I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. Otherwise, with all the problems and stress and trials and things that are weighing me down, I get crushed. The only thing that leads me, that holds me up, is that hope in Christ. Amen. That hope that the thing I'm believing on, I'm going to get. So I can relate to David. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's the point? There's a believing that has to take place now. Yeah, man. Yeah. You and I are Lazarus. Yeah. Jesus has raised us to new life. Yeah, the stone has been rolled away. Yeah, the grave clothes have been loosed. But if you don't believe any of that, or if some of that you don't believe, you need to believe all of that. If all you can believe is that you've been raised from you've been raised to newness of life, but you still, you're not sure that you're free from your grave clothes, that's a problem. If you can believe that you've been raised to newness of life, but that great separator between your existence now and the life that you want to have is still in the way, that's a problem. So the belief that he was telling to Martha is something that he's saying to us as well. You need to believe. Didn't I tell you? Hear God saying this to you. Hear Jesus saying this to you today. Didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Hear Jesus saying that unto you. Didn't I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the goodness of God in your life? And now, take his question and make it into a statement. If I believe, I will see the goodness of God in my life. If I believe, I will see the goodness of God in my life. And then fight to believe. Amen. We were talking about the faith being a fight, the good fight of faith. Now fight to believe. When Satan comes whispering, fight to believe. I'm going to believe the word of God. Why? Because if I believe, I will see the glory of God. It's all about belief. Jesus told us, he said, if you speak to the mountain, he said, whosoever should speak to the mountain, tell that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. And then he said, therefore, when you stand praying, whatever you ask, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Right? Believe that you receive and you shall have them. Believe that you receive and you shall have it. We got to believe it. Amen. You're saved. You've been raised to newness of life. Believe that. Amen. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Believe that. Don't be concerned about your circumstances. Why not? You walk by faith and not by sight. Those things are temporary. The things that you can see are temporary. But the things of God are eternal. His promises are eternal. You believe His promises. So if you've been raised to newness of life, you believe that. Amen. I'm born again. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know? God's doing new things in my life. I don't care if you've been stuck in this situation for a long time. You think about that man who was blind from birth. You think about that man who was paralyzed for 38 years. You think about that woman who was bent over for 18 years. You think about Abraham who took 25 years before he had a son. Sometimes you can be in a situation for a long time, but God's not concerned about how long you've been in that situation. He can turn that long situation and turn it around in a minute. So you've been born again. Believe that. Old things have passed away. Everything now is new. The stone has been rolled away in your life. Believe that. Whatever has been that great stone of that great obstacle that kept you from living the God kind of life is gone. It's been rolled away. You need to believe that. And you need to believe there's nothing holding you back, glory to God, from being and doing what God has called you to be and to do. You have power on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have Jesus interceding for you in heaven. You have God's word to live by. You got saints of God who pray for you and encourage you. You got angels who are waiting for you just to say the word because they move at the voice of His word. And if you give voice to His word, then you can set angels in motion. God has given us so many things. Don't let some devil tell you what you can't do. You got too much help and too much power. But you have to believe it. And remember Jesus said, if you believe that you receive, you can have. Martha, Mary, John, Jim, whatever your name is, if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen. So we have to believe this thing. The stone has been rolled away. Great that you're born again, but stop staying in the cave. Too many believers in the cave. Come out. When you start coming out, you'll see grave clothes will come off. But if you want to stay in the grave, your grave clothes are going to stay on. But if you come out, grave clothes come off. And now, you're free to do whatever it is God wants you to do. Now, for those who don't know Jesus, here's the thing. Yeah, the stone rolled away for everybody. But you got to accept what Jesus did on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to have to accept what Jesus did on the cross. You're going to have to receive Him in your life as Lord and Savior. And that's all you have to do. There's no work. You don't got to work to get yourself together. You don't got to do all these things. Just accept Him right now. Accept Him today. Lord, I invite you into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And then you can be raised to newness of life. You come forth, great clothes come off,
amen.
And you come into newness of life. Come on, somebody. You got no school for this.
That's right.
You got no degree. You just have to accept what Jesus has done.
That's
good. The stone is rolled away. There's something about stones, too. We're going to close, but there's something about these stones that I was talking to the Lord about this, and the idea of stone being rolled away, but we also understand that Jesus was put into a tomb too, right? And we know that a stone was put over the mouth of that tomb. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and read the Bible, there was so much said about that stone. We're told that the stone was put there. We're told that the religious leaders went to Pilate to make sure that a seal would be put over the stone. We're told that guards stood by the stone to make sure it would stay in place. And on, you know, on Resurrection Day, we're told that the women were on their way to the tomb with spices because they wanted to anoint Jesus' body. And they talked about many things, I'm sure, on their way. But the one thing that the Bible made sure that we knew was part of their conversation was a concern about the stone. Mm-hmm. Who will roll away the stone for us, they said. So the Bible talked about this stone. The stone is there, the stone is sealed, the stone is guarded, the women are concerned about the stone. And then we're even told that there was an earthquake, right? And we're told that the angel did what? Moved the stone. Mm-hmm. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew, we're even told that the angel was sitting on top of the stone. There's a whole lot of talk about this stone. Why? Because that stone needed to be moved out of the way so that Jesus could come on out the tomb. Now, somebody could say, well, Jesus can come out of the tomb. Yeah, I understand that, but why do you think the stone was rolled away? Oh, so they can go in there and see. Yeah, they can go in there and see, but the bottom line, the stone rolled away, he's gone. Right. And he's out. And we can go in there and see that he's gone. No matter what, please understand, God has taken away the stone in your life. All of us got stones in our life. We got stones from our upbringing, things that our parents said to us, didn't say to us, did for us, didn't do for us, from bitter relationships and marriages and bitter breakups in business and in ministry and elsewhere. I mean, we got all kinds of stuff. But I don't care what it is that's trying to keep you bound. Listen, understand the stone is rolled away, and Jesus didn't just roll away the stone. He didn't raise your life and roll away the stone so that he could tease you about what's going on out there in the beauty of the day.
Right.
He didn't do that. He rolled away that stone so you could see the beauty of the day and come out into it with your grave clothes now off and go out there and do your thing. So somebody, I don't know who it is, and maybe it's me. Praise the Lord. Lord, it's me. Need to be encouraged today. Amen. You're born again. Amen. The great separator between life and death, darkness and despair, and beautiful life has been removed from your life. The grave clothes have been taken off. You have nothing holding you back. You have nothing hindering you. Now go out there and do your thing. I'm going out there, I'm doing my thing. By the sound of it, I'm going to be by myself. But I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. And so are you, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Get out there and do your thing. Get out there and go after that thing God has placed on your heart. Amen. You've been raised to new life. Stone's been rolled away. You ain't got nothing holding you back. Now go out there and go get it. Amen. Go get it. What you got in your heart to get? What has God downloaded into you and given you a vision of? Huh? Now go do it. Go do it. And tell some people who are out there doing their thing too that you're doing it, because guess what? That's where you're going to find a source of encouragement. You ain't getting encouragement from born-again believers who are in the cave. Just peeking out. But don't want to come forth. I raised you, Lazarus, but you got to come forth. And then when you come forth, I'll get you out your grave clothes. But if you're not drawn to the light, I've raised you up, but you just want to still stay in the dark. See, don't talk to folk who are still in the dark. And I'm telling you now, there are a lot of born-again believers who are still in the cave. Don't talk to them. Talk to the others who finally came out, got their grave clothes off, and are going after the things of God, because they'll encourage you. I'll encourage you. You'll encourage me. And guess what? Each one of us will go forward and get what it is that God has placed in us.
Amen.
God said, I will do what? I will grant you the desires of your heart. Why? Because I put them there.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He put that idea in your head. He put that book in your head. He put that song in your head. He put that new business in your heart. He put that thing in there. Now, go forward and go do it. Okay. Amen. Stone is rolled away, grave clothes are off, and you can go do it. Amen. Nothing holding you back. Amen. I'm telling you this right now. This world better look out. Amen. This world better look out, because I know that some of you are going to go out there and do your thing. But I can tell you personally, this world better look out, because I'm coming. I've been coming for a long time, too. I've been out there, but I'm coming again. Amen. I ain't done yet. As long as the Lord have me on this earth, I'm coming for new stuff. Amen. You said, what's the matter with you? You go to law school, you got a family. God put it in me. Guess what? Done. Next. And then I want to work this for. Done. Next. Start a business. Done. Next. Podcast. Next. And I got some next in my life. Why? Because God keeps downloading. God loves giving the ideas to people who go, okay, and run with it, go do it. Next. And he give you something else. Well, better watch out, because God raising up a whole generation of people who say next. Amen.
Amen.
And I pray that's you. Amen. But go forward. Go forward. Understand, you've been raised. You know you've been born again. Don't be satisfied with that. Part of salvation package is more than just going to heaven. It's about seeing the goodness of God today in the land of the living. Come out of the cave, shed your grave clothes, and go do what God has for you to do. Amen.
Amen.
But God, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming, devil, and you can't stop me. Let's rest on our feet today. Let's pray. Hallelujah. You can't stop me. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your holy name today. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. That the stone has been rolled away. You raised us to newness of life. You've taken away the stone. You removed our grave clothes, oh God. And Father, you filled us with promise, with hope, with potential, with revelation, with inspiration, with strength, and with the power of your might by your Spirit to go forward in newness of life and do all that you have created us to do. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Father.
But Father, we also pray for all of our brothers and sisters, oh God, who may still be in the cave. Father God, we're praying right now for freedom. We're praying for liberty, oh God. We're praying, oh God, for their faith to be stirred
on
today in the name of Jesus. That God, not to be satisfied simply to be saved and on their way to heaven, but Father, to come forth out of the cave and come into the brightness of a new day. And Father, we're praying, God, that as they do, God, we thank you that the grave clothes have come off.
Yes,
we thank you, God, that they're no longer bound. We thank you, God, that they're no longer blind. But God, they clearly can see. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That you have a great plan and purpose for their lives. And Father, I thank you, God, glory to God, that it is not too late. Doesn't matter how long, how old they are, oh God, but today is a new day.
Yes.
The stone has been taken away. Now come forth and be who God created you to be. Come forth and do what God has anointed you to do in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now that an army is rising up in all the earth. An army of believers who are coming out of darkness into your marvelous light. Who are coming out, oh God, hallelujah, to take territory for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for a faith revolution, oh God. People who simply believe that they will see the glory of God in the land of the living. Father, I thank you and bless you right now for it all in the name of Jesus. Father, we now just look to you, God, and just pray that you'll continue to inspire us by your word and by your Spirit. We're praying, oh God, that you'll continue to speak to us and give us deeper revelation and insight. And Father, we're praying most of all that your will be done in our lives right here on earth, just as it's done up in heaven. And we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor for the marvelous things that you are doing in our lives. As the psalmist said, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Marvelous are thy works, O Lord, and that our soul knoweth right well. We
yes.
give you all the praise. We give you all the thanks for the marvelous things that are taking place in our lives now and that we shall continue to take place in our lives. As we go forward in faith, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.